to the April, excuse me, the September 12th PFAC meeting. The first item on our agenda today is the approval of the minutes of April 11th. And before we, I ask for comments about it, I'd like to ask a couple of questions about it. That was a very, very tedious, complicated meeting we had last time. And there's a lot of stuff in here that happened since that, since April. I guess my first question, Suzanne, is what happened to the trans? Did it get out?
That's a very good question. We got together for a couple of finance team meetings for the trans, but we ended up pulling the plug on the trans because we were ineligible because we had too much cash. The county had too much cash, and that was mainly related to the fact that the past couple of years we had kept we had allocated property tax monies that were a part of the VLFAA lawsuit with the state. So while the county argued that it was entitled to the money and the state said that the county was not, the county chose to you know, prudently not just go out and spend all that money while we waited for that outcome. So we have that cash sitting in our reserves, so we couldn't justify borrowing money for cash flow purposes.
Well, are we going to have to do another trans later in the year, or can we do it later in the year?
We can. We don't anticipate that need. We do have each year during the budget process, the Board of Supervisors approves resolutions that allows the county to access other funds that are outside the general fund and do an internal borrowing. We call it alternative liquidity. So we can borrow other funds from, for example, from flood control that aren't needed for many years, and we can borrow them at the county's pool rate and then pay them back before the end of the year. So we do have access to liquidity if we need it.
Okay. Next question. Did we get the Orange County development bonds out in Santa Ana Heights?
Not yet. Our target date is in November. The finance team is working on the legal documents. A big part of that was hiring a fiscal consultant, RSG, who gathered property tax data and data on the district, the health of the district, to, you know, prove that the Santa Ana Heights project area is fiscally sound and has the revenue sources to justify a bond issue. We are looking at, our schedule is to come back to PFAC and the Board of Supervisors in October with the financing details. October, we're also scheduled to go to Standard & Poor's to request a rating. And then, as I mentioned, in November is our target closing.
All right. And then the big question, I understand that Orange County lost its lawsuit and the vehicle license fee issue. Would you tell us about that, which you can tell us?
That's correct. It's called a preliminary ruling, and but the court did find that the county did not have standing in the way it calculated the property tax. And if I get any of this wrong, Jan, jump in. But you know, the county throughout the summer has been considering its options. You know, one option is to appeal. Another option, which is currently being worked on, is a legislative fix that would give the county more equal standing with the other counties who back in 2004 swapped their vehicle license fees for property tax. So the fix that's being sought is to for the county to get a share, its share of property tax that was equal to the approximately $53 million of vehicle license fees that we receive, with the eligibility for growth based on property tax growth.
Mr. Chairman.
Just a second. What are the prospects of paying this money back? I mean, what happens to the budget? Jan, perhaps you can comment on that. What's the impact of this?
In the current year, there wouldn't be a budgetary impact, in that the budget was developed without considering the use of these monies that are being reserved for the settlement of the lawsuit. There would be a long-term impact to the county. If there's a legislative fix to the issue, that will be accompanied by a settlement agreement for the repayment of the funds that have been withheld the past 2 years.
That would be about $100 million?
$146
million. $146 million.
Spread out over a multi-year repayment schedule.
I see. And this is part of the legislative fix that we're working on?
Correct. And just to add, to the current year budget was also developed with a 5% department cut. So there was some cut anticipated and programmed into the budget. And then also, you know, as mentioned, the reason the county's not eligible for trans is because we've held some of that money in reserve and not spent it. So, you know, there are funds there that are available for part of that repayment.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Mr. Moore, you had a question?
Yes. You mentioned that the case was lost or dismissed because of standing. Do you have the actual language on that, or can you explain to me what standing we didn't have?
I personally can't off the top of my head, but we can provide that language. It's in a judgment. It's in a legal judgment, and I would be happy to forward that to you.
Did this go to an appellate judge?
No, this was a superior court.
Okay, so we didn't appeal it yet. The legislative fix is the approach we're using, as opposed to appeal. Is that correct?
Correct, and I think you know, the county sees that as the preferred approach to negotiate a settlement that the county can work with. While it's not ideal, it's better. The county feels it's better than, you know, going through a lengthy appeal, which you know, we've already lost once. I don't know what our chances would be of winning an appeal.
Okay, any other comments about the minutes? If not, I'll ask for a motion for approval.
Make a motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, and no corrections. Nobody has any corrections that they're interested in. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the approval and concept of the Ladera Ranch Community Facilities District refunding. The selection of advisor, bonds disclosure counsel, and underwriter. We're approving the concept as well as the financial advisor and the bond counsel. Would you tell us about this, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. At this time, I'd like to ask Mr. Richard Mendoza to come up to the podium and present this item.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, welcome back after what appears to be a protracted hiatus. Not that we didn't have activities to work on, but rather that we didn't have anything to bring before you. Item 3 on your agenda packet pertains to a request by staff that you take several actions related, as was mentioned by Mr. Hammond, to the approval and concept of the refunding of the Ladera Ranch Community Facilities Districts, 3 of the CFDs, as well as approval of the selection of the financing team. And by way of background, in between 1999 and 2005, the Board of Supervisors approved the issuance of bonds for the acquisition and construction of six CFDs, Community Facilities Districts, in the Ladera Ranch region in South County. In a few years later, in 2005, the three of the CFDs were refunded via a vehicle called a Marks-Ruess transaction, largely due to favorable interest rates in those three CFDs. And the remaining were not refunded at the time, again, largely due to interest rate environment not being favorable for the remaining three. However, current interest rates for the remaining three, or two of the three at least, are favorable at this time. And so we are proposing that you consider the recommended action to approve in concept the refunding of the remaining three, two for sure, possibly the third one if interest rates work in favor of the third one as well. Current interest rates show that a net present value could be realized in an amount of approximately $10.7 million for CFD 2002-1 and CFD 2003-1. The third CFD currently has a NPV that is below 3%, and we will continue to monitor that. And should that rise be above the threshold of 3%, we will go ahead and throw that into the mix as well. The selection of the financing team took the course that we typically...
Excuse me, Mr. Mendoza, did you say... But you're deleting 2004-1, right?
At this time, correctly. We're not asking that you exclude it from the approval in concept. It's just not included in the actual calculations. The $10.7 million that I mentioned was not included because it's actually going to dilute the benefit that we would reap, the benefits that we would reap from the refunding of the other two at this point.
Due to the higher interest rate?
Due to the interest rates that would not, they're below that 3% threshold. But we want to keep it in the hopper. Should that ever, between now and when we actually complete the transaction, turn out to be favorable, we would like to include it.
And Mr. Chair and committee members, just a point of clarification, I mean, the interest rate environment has fluctuated so rapidly in recent months. And when we started this process, it appeared that the interest rate savings could be realized in 2004-1, then all of a sudden that changed. So we just want to maintain our flexibility if all of a sudden things change again.
Can I interrupt you?
Absolutely.
Before you go on here, would you tell me the distinction between a CFD financing and a Marks-Ruess?
A community facilities districts, and we have the resident expert on Marks-Ruess here in our presence, Mr. Bob Whelan from Stradling, Yucca, Carlson, and Roth. But the issuance of bonds for community facilities districts are effectively standalone issuance. Each CFD has a financing that is specific to that particular community that's defined X number of streets down one way to X number of streets the other way. The Marks-Ruess portion of it allows you to pool multiple CFDs in a refunding for financial benefits. So instead of just having one standalone CFD, you can collapse multiple CFDs into a refunding to benefit the residents of those particular communities. Did I characterize that somewhat? So it's really a combining, a pooling of CFDs into a one refunding.
But a Marks-Ruess can only be for a refunding, or can you do it initially?
No, I think that's only the refunding. Is that? Oh, okay. So I stand correctly. Correct.
And by grouping these, do they have to be contiguous in the same, obviously the same county, but the geographic, is there any relationship to that by grouping them?
I don't believe that they have to be contiguous.
No, and in fact, we did one. It was the Foothill Ranch area that has Rancho Santa Margarita, Foothill Ranch, Mission Viejo. It has there were eight CFDs pooled in that one.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So somebody else had a question? No. Okay. So the selection of the financing team, as I mentioned, actually took the course that we typically take for the selection of consultants. We distributed a request for proposals as opposed to a request for bids, a request for proposals to all of the financial advisor, bond counsel, and underwriter firms that were approved by this committee and by the Board of Supervisors back in 2011 and 2013. And with respect to the FA, the financial advisor portion of this RFP, we invited a total of 9 financial advisor firms, and only 2 responded. Fieldman Rolap and PFM were the 2 firms that responded to our RFP. We convened a review team, to look at the RFPs and consider 4 primary areas: the number and par amount of CFD experiences in the past 3 years in California, the number and par amount of Mark's Roos refundings in the past 3 years in the state of California, the availability of consultants from local firms, and finally, the proposed compensation. The review team recommended Fieldman Rolap to serve as financial advisor for the proposed financing. You should know that Fieldman and Rolap served as the FA for the initial development and formation and financing of the CFDs that are being considered. They proposed a fee of $57,000 plus $500 in expenses. This compares to the prior initial CFD of $71,000. So they've reduced their fees for this particular transaction. Fieldman Rolap has, compared to PFM, a substantial amount of experience. It eclipses effectively PFM by a substantial amount in terms of experience in financings and refundings of CFDs by a factor of almost 8 times. So it's a substantial amount of experience over its competitor, its nearest competitor, PFM. The one area where PFM does out-compete Fieldman Rolap is in terms of its fees. It's proposing $44,000 for the plus expenses for the proposed financing. And so the financing panel that was convened to review the RFPs is recommending, at least at this time, Fieldman Rolap for that particular function. With respect to the selection of bond counsel firms.
Before we get into let's finish here and then we'll come back to this. I know where we're going with this.
With respect to the bond counsel firms, we submitted the RFP, invited 12 firms in total, and 2 of those firms responded, straddling Yucca, Carlson, and Roth, and Oric up in the San Francisco Bay Area. The review team that comprised a member of county council, public finance, and auditor controller staff considered similarly the number and par amount of CFD experience in the past 3 years in California, the number of par and par amount of CFD experience with respect to Mark's Roos refundings, the availability of consultants from local areas, as well as the proposed compensation. The review team recommended straddling Yucca, Carlson, and Roth to serve as both bond and disclosure counsel for the proposed refunding. Straddling, like Fieldman Rolap, also served as the initial consultant firm for the formation and financing of the 3 CFDs in question. Straddling proposed a fee of $80,000, including expenses, and compares to $89,500 by its competitor, Oric. Initially, Straddling had, for the initial financing, Straddling proposed a fee of $125,000, so it too reduced its proposed fees relative to the initial financing. Straddling has all of its participants, all of the folks that have been assigned to this transaction from the Orange County local office, compared to ORIC, who has folks that are going to be coming in from the San Francisco Bay Area as well as Los Angeles. So as far as all of the criteria, straddling clearly was the best choice per the recommendations of the review team. And I should mention that in both the Fieldman roll-up as well as the straddling situation or the recommendation, all three members of the review team unanimously recommended these two firms. And then finally, with respect to the underwriter firms, 15 firms were invited to participate. And out of those 15, four responded to the RFP. The review team considered slightly different criteria. They looked at senior and co-manager experience in the past 3 years in both financings and refundings. They looked at the proposed marketing plan, the responsiveness to the RFP, and then finally the proposed compensation. And after the deliberation by the team recommended Piper Jaffray and Company to serve as underwriter for the proposed transaction. Piper Jaffray was ranked first by, again, all three members of that specific review team. And Piper Jaffray is proposing a hybrid model that maybe they can speak to in greater detail than I can, that will effectively combine a public sale and a private placement that will realize a savings of, as I mentioned, an estimated $10.7 million in MPV savings, which effectively translates to a considerable amount of savings per parcel per year for each of the CFD residents for the remaining balance of the bonds moving forward through 2033 and 2034. Piper Jaffray is recommending or proposing a fee of 3.97 per bond, and this compares to a range among the other three competitors that goes from 3.59 to 5.4 per bond. So the recommendations by public finance staff for this committee are to take four actions. Number one, to approve in concept the refunding of the Ladera CFDs 2002-1, 2003-1, and 2004-1. Number two, to approve the selection of Fieldman Rollup and Associates as the financial advisor. Number three, to approve the selection of Stradling, Yucca, Carlson, and Roth as bond and disclosure counsel. And finally, number four, to approve the selection of Piper Jaffray and Company as underwriters. And we have here today to address, to help address some of the questions that you may have, Mr. Tom DeMars from Fieldman Rollup, Mr. Bob Whalen from Stradling, Yucca, Carlson, and Roth, and Ms. Katie Koster and Mr. Russ Reyes from Piper Jaffray and Company. Any questions, please?
I would like to let's divide the discussion about this into two parts. Let's talk about the deal, and then let's talk about the advisors and the counsel and so on and so forth. I'd like to start with the first question of these CFDs that were issued, approximately $200 million. What was it for? What got built, what's not built, and B, the next question is, how much of all of this land, this collateral, is owned by the developer, and how much it is owned by end users and consumers? So who can address the deal?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I think I can address most of that. CFDs 99-1 through 2004-1, that's six issuances. The bonds were issued to construct certain public improvements and facilities, including roads, including Antonio Parkway, the bridge at Crown Valley Parkway that allows the residents to get from Ladera Ranch to the freeway at Crown Valley Parkway, a sports park that has baseball, softball, soccer fields, a library that's a joint-use library between Ladera Ranch residents and Capistrano Unified School District, where it's there's a part that's the school or the school library during school hours, and then it opens up for residents in the afternoon. A fire station was built, sewer improvements, all the collector roads. 2004-1, there's current construction for Ortega Highway widening. There is money programmed from 2004-1 that's being contributed to the Caltrans project for the Ortega Highway interchange improvement that's currently in progress. It's anticipated that funds will be contributed to the proposed La Pata extension, which is a very important road to the County of Orange that would connect San Juan Capistrano Ortega Highway with the city of San Clemente. So most of the improvements, most of the districts are built out, with the exception of 2004-1, where it was programmed for there to be a mixture of tract homes and custom building, and I believe that there are still some custom lots available for sale.
Well, I'm sure that when these CFDs were issued, there was a punch list of all the things that were going to be built. So can somebody tell us what, as accurate as possible, what's been built and what hasn't been built?
Mr. Chair, what I just described was from the punch list. It's called it's basically a budget. The acquisition fund, according to the acquisition funding and disclosure agreement, which is a line item listing of eligible improvements, and I believe virtually all the improvements from 99-1. 2000-1 and 2001-1 have been built. It's 2002-1, 2003-1, and 2004-1 that still have some funds that are being expensed for eligible programs from the list that include Ortega Highway widening, the interchange, Antonio Parkway. So it's mostly these highway widenings. All the other improvements have been built.
Well, has Mr. DeMars looked into this? I mean, on your prospectus, can you be more definitive about what's been done and what hasn't been done? Or anybody? I don't know.
Who, not today.
I mean, the question is, always these deals always concern me about for two reasons. A, what was supposed to be built and what is built, what has to be built, are they on budget, are they under budget, are they going to need another financing? That's question number one. And number two, as we got into often with the Irvine Company deals, when there were no owners except the Irvine Company. So that begs the question, what are the financial resources of the developer who hasn't sold this property to pay these bills or to pay these bonds? Principal and interest. So those are the two big issues here. And I think, don't we kind of need to know that stuff? I mean, if we look out and see that, in fact, we even, if you recall, I'm sure you recall, Mr. Mendoza, when we had the Irvine Company, mm-hmm. and we said, my God, they have this huge bill every month for their own mill of risk bond. And we said, how about giving us your financial statement to see if you can afford to pay this?
Right.
And they did. And then they said, well, we'll just buy the bonds back ourselves, which is what they did too. But the question I have here is that what is the liability of the developer, which is the Ladera Land Company? What's it? I forgot the name of it.
DMB Ladera, which is Rancho Mission Viejo.
And so the question is, how much of this monthly bill are they having to pay? And A, can they pay it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that a pretty fundamental question for these deals?
Yeah, I guess one comment.
Well, I know there's a lot of commercial parcels there.
Commercial parcels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is it 80% sold out or 90% or 50%? I mean, I
With the exception of 2004, I would say they're 100% sold, because the parcels have been sold, but they may have not been. I believe there's 63 that have not yet been built upon.
But they have other owners.
That's correct.
And a developer. Well, I don't want to be tedious about this, and I know Ladera is a wonderful place, and I know they're very successful. But I mean, isn't that a very basic thing the supervisor should know about? I mean, if we're gonna do a $200 million financing here, shouldn't we check to see how this has gone so far, and see what has to be done? I mean, isn't that reasonable? Is the prospectus been done yet? No, I'm sure it hasn't. You haven't even started it yet.
This is just the approval in concept that will authorize us to do the work to bring back the details of a financing for approval.
Well, perhaps then, if that's the case, maybe when you come back for the final deal, you should explain this to us. Right, Mr. DeMars? Is that
absolutely. It'll be in a
prospectus, I would think, right. Wouldn't it?
Right. It'll all be updated.
Yeah, there will be an attachment that will include all of the details at that time. And in fact, we could invite, if this committee so desires, the developers
I would think that would be appropriate, right?
But isn't the envelope, if I may, Chair, isn't the envelope of the infrastructure no different than what we've already committed to under the current bonds?
No. The question is, if there's a punch list of things that are supposed to be done, and there's a punch list of stuff that hasn't been done.
Right.
So the question is, how much money has been spent? How much is left? What has to be done? Is there enough money to finish what's not done? And before we start approving a $200 million refinancing, it'd be kind of nice to know that, wouldn't it? I would think so.
I think we're already on the hook for the exacts. Yeah. Everything you've described already obtains right now.
Well, but
that's right. Correct.
Nothing. I don't think they're asking to go beyond the envelope of the infrastructure that was envisioned on the CFDs that were already put into place.
But were we on budget?
Surely, if you were a board of supervisor in this county, and the current financing was not going well, and you approved a refinance, that would be of concern.
Yeah, but it's too late relative to our decision here. Yeah.
No, it isn't. We're talking about a refinance of an existing deal that's out there. I mean, you don't want to refinance something that's underwater.
The current financing is successful. We do have remaining bond proceeds for the last three CFDs in construction accounts that are being drawn down as construction is occurring on Antonio Parkway, Ortega Highway, and the freeway interchange that are being drawn down to spend as programmed. And then on the debt service side, we have debt service funds. We set taxes with the assistance of our special tax consultant, David Tausig at Associates, that is here today in the audience. And backstopped by our TEETER program that guarantees the collections against delinquencies, makes these districts whole every year so that we can ensure debt service is paid. And I'd say during the worst point in the financial crisis between 2008 and 2010, delinquencies did get up over 10% for a couple of the CFDs. At this point, I think they're all hovering, around 1% delinquency.
Well, but I don't think, but TEETER, if I'm not mistaken, the TEETER bonds, the TEETER program does not cover Belarus.
Belarus.
They do?
Yes, the county CFDs are participants in the TEETER program.
But my question is, along with what you were originally saying, is on the construction that's done, was it done on budget? And do we have enough money? You say we have money left over for the new projects. Do we have enough money to finish it and complete them?
We do. Within each line item, and our accounting staff tracks it monthly, each budgeted line item. For example, there's a line item, you know, La Pata extension, there Antonio Parkway widening. We work very closely with our district engineer, Orange County Public Works, who is the project manager on these projects. We track the invoices that are paid. We share this information with Orange County Public Works.
Maybe you could speak to Mr. Moore, Mr. Hammond's, I think, threshold question is, what happens in the case where, you know, you're not covered? What sort of liability overhang do you have if, you know, a promised infrastructure improvement isn't, you know, you've run out of money before it's completed? I think that's the fundamental question.
And the answer to that question is that the we only spend there's a finite amount of money, which you know, it makes it critical that it's monitored each month.
Well, but the history of Mark's Roost in this state is not perfect, and there have been issues in California. We know that. So the only thing I'm not arguing with you about whether this is a good deal or a bad deal. All I'm saying is that we need some, when you come back with this deal, we need some quantifiable information. I assume it'll be in the prospectus. Am I right?
Correct.
Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. And nobody other than some vague answers here can answer my question about how are we sitting on this deal so far. So I guess
you want the actual numbers.
Yeah, and then also. To me, it always seems peculiar that nobody asks, is the developer, how much does he own of the property, and does he have the capacity to pay his share of the bills? I mean, that's pretty fundamental. And that's every Mark's Roost deal that's gone down in the state of California has been because the developer owned all the property and never sold it, and he couldn't pay it. So that's the issue.
We will provide that information as well as the budget to actual spreadsheet for each project, for each of the CFDs proposed to be refinanced when we come back to you.
Now what happens, and I have one more question, it's unrelated. The mechanics of this are, when this gets refinanced, does the county send out a new notice of a Mark's Roost statement to the home buyers lowering their payments? Is that the way it works? Or is it in your tax bill?
It would be in their tax bill, so they would notice a lowered tax bill next year.
Okay. May I
sure.
have a question? Does the maturity get extended?
No.
No.
It's the same.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're taking advantage of interest rate savings to lower the taxes.
Okay, so the maturity of the doesn't change from where it is today?
That is correct.
Okay.
It goes out for a total of 30 years.
Mr. Chair.
With the initial.
If I'm clear on this, we're refinancing these. Mm-hmm. We're not changing the maturity.
Correct.
We're not changing the liability.
Correct.
So the net effect of this is that we're just simply refinancing it.
Correct.
Now, I'm not entirely clear on the relevance of any of the other questions. But I understand why Chairman Hammond would like to know what's happening and what's gone on, but I'm not sure that it changes anything. We're just looking to save money on a refinance, if I understand this correctly.
Well, I'm not sure you do, because would you refinance a bond or a house or any asset that was underwater?
Well, either way, we're on the hook. If we're the sole lender.
No, but you're selling bonds to the public, and you have to tell them what you're selling them. I mean, if you have problems in a particular transaction, you can't refinance it and just shovel the risk off.
I guess if there's a known issue, you're right.
Well, let's find out if there's a known issue. That's the point.
And committee members, Mr. Chairman, that will be further vetted through the rating process, investor outreach, where the prospectus, because you're right, investors will be interested in that information. So in the documents that we provide to them, the health of the district.
Yeah, what's your timing on this, do you believe?
This is an almost built-out community.
No, I think the target is November 30th.
Okay. All right. Okay, do we have any more questions or discussion about the finance portion of this before we go to
I have one other question. I read in the notes that that there was an ability to refund this in August of last year. And I guess my question is, why wasn't it done at that time? And why is it being done at this time? And then finally, do we have an enterprise-wide way of monitoring the maturities and the call dates for all of these sort of measures so they don't just sort of happen because a financial advisor calls us?
I guess a committee member Groner to address the first question. We did have the ability to bring this refinancing to you last August. The interest rate environment was far more favorable, but the answer would be staffing constraints with the turnover of the public finance manager leaving in August, the prior, and my appointment in the interim. It just didn't get done at that time.
Well, did the developer bring it to you earlier?
No, and
that's the other thing. If the developer didn't bring it in, it would never get started. Am I right about that?
Actually, we, in the past year since I've been the public finance manager, we've taken several meetings from various financial professionals who come meet with public finance staff to introduce themselves. And as part of that, we usually get some market education. We receive education on the current market environment, and then each firm usually will give us an update on the strengths of their firm and what their role could be in a financing. But we get several of these market updates and finance opportunities presented to us each year.
It seems to me that we've become very resource constrained, and I would be in favor, not that this is the right form, but just as an idea, of maybe having our financial advisors advise us on this or go to some consultant to, because obviously there's just way too much stuff to deal with, but it seems like that's something that a financial advisor could do for us in a holistic way, just to make everyone's, you know, life a little more, you know, easy.
Well, but just ask the same question again. Did the Ladera developer come to you earlier? I mean, did they come to you a year ago with this deal or not?
The developer has never, to my knowledge, come to the county to request a refinancing. Sometimes what they'll do is, what they've done in the past is, they will initiate what's called the AFDA amendment, and that's the acquisition funding and disclosure agreement we were referring to, which is the budget. So they've come up to us before to request that we bring to the Board of Supervisors a reallocation of project line items in the budget, but they have not come to us with a refinancing. Now, we are expecting and anticipating the developer to approach the county sometime in 2014 to issue and form a new CFD for their new Rancho Mission Viejo community.
Right. But I guess the point is, Carl, that the finance department doesn't, they don't initiate these things. It's the developer that brings them to you, and then you go to work on them. Is that?
Or the consultants.
Or the consultants, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess if the developer's sitting on their hands.
Well, in a fully sold-out community, the real stakeholders in this are the people that live in the community.
Right.
It's not the developer. It's a single-purpose entity. They're moved on to the next whatever. The real people who are interested in this are the people who are, you know, paying their special assessments or CFD.
And that's correct. We balance allocating our staff resources with the general fund county financings versus the CFD refinancings as time permits.
Okay. Any other questions about this part of it? Okay. Let's go on to the, let's talk first about the financial advisors. Mr. Moore, I think you had a comment about that.
I did. Was Feldman, Rolap, and Associates on the list?
Yes, of the qualified panel?
Yes, that
yes.
We all reviewed. And was Public Finance Management on that same
also,
list?
Also on that list. Only the firms that were on the qualified panel established through the request for qualifications
correct.
Were invited to participate.
Correct. There seems to be a almost a 30% disparity in fees, which this panel approved that list of advisors, mm-hmm. looked at it, felt that everyone on that list was competent in which to do
was qualified.
Future deals.
Right.
And I can understand a smaller number, but 26.7, almost 30% difference in fees is troubling.
So right.
Why didn't
we consider fees as a bigger component of the evaluation?
Right.
There were four evaluative dimensions on three of the four, excluding the proposed compensation, Fielman Rolap really eclipsed by a substantial margin the experience of PFM. In some cases, as much as 8 times the amount of experience of PFM.
In which of the, I'm looking at this, I see 15 versus 5, which isn't 8. I don't see an 8 times factor.
Well, just to give you a for instance of the raw data, you don't have before you the actual raw data, but I hope I brought it. Do you have that, Suzanne?
I might. But just to clarify the list of qualified consultants, there was a time previously when the qualified panels were segregated by area of expertise. For example, there are certain consultants that are more qualified in airport financing. There are certain consultants that are more qualified on, you know, infrastructure, sewer, water bonds, and certain consultants more qualified for the redevelopment bonds or the CFD bonds. And at one point, it was determined to just make it one list. So while all the firms that were recommended and qualified and approved for the panel are qualified, competent firms, I guess county staff would say that, you know, in certain areas of expertise, there are some firms that are more qualified than others.
That is correct.
How do you define that as far as more qualified? Has Public Finance Management never done any of these deals? They have no experience?
Not as many.
PFM does not have.
I asked the question, have they done any of these deals?
Yes, they have.
So they have experience in the field?
Yes. Okay. But I believe you're a veteran?
Say again.
Military veteran? You're
nope.
A military veteran?
Nope.
Okay. So I was going to draw the analogy as a fellow veteran of the military. If I'm going to go to war, if I'm going to go to battle, I would also not, in addition to having somebody that are qualified, I would also like for somebody to be familiar with the terrain. And in this case, we have in two of the three firms that we are recommending, Fielman Rolap and the bond counsel firm, are very familiar with the terrain. They were, in fact, the consultants in the initial financing, and they have extensive experience in Orange County. So I guess that would be my response. Are they qualified? Yes.
Can I ask Mr. DeMars to address why he's charging $13,000 more than our competitor? I mean, for this, I mean, I'd just like to hear it from Mr. DeMars. If that's, I don't mean to be rude.
I think we all like
it. Well, I didn't know PFM was going to come in at 44, so I can't respond to why they quoted so low. What I can respond to is that we've done a significant amount of these transactions over the last 3 years, and particularly in the last year. And it's the time and effort and the complications that require that kind of fee to be able to get it done.
But you already have this deal. You already did this deal initially. You have it on your word processor already.
No.
You're just plugging the numbers.
Someone has to look at it.
I wish it was that easy. But like you said, you know, we have to go back and look at all the underlying development parts of it. Where are we now in that development? How much is in residential property versus being still held by the ranch? The complications of pooling the two rather than doing two separate transactions with the two that are in play right now. It's a matter of cost and time that goes into it and the complexity that goes into it for that type of fee. And it is, as I think Suzanne had mentioned earlier, in 2005 or 6 when we did the Mark's Roost pool on the original first three, that it was substantially lower from what we did it for at that point in time. Because we re-looked at some ways that we were doing things as far as efficiency and that sort of thing, and we were able to lower the fee on this time around.
Well, I, for one, there's an absent member of PFAC who called me about this very issue as well, and I think we can guess who that is. And I guess the question is, to be blunt and direct, can you compromise your fee on this?
No.
Not even a little.
I'll take off the $500 for the expenses.
That's insulting.
It's just the amount of time and effort that goes into it that brings it up to that level.
All right. Any other questions for Mr. DeMars?
Nope.
Okay. Well, before we vote on each of these separately, why don't we have a discussion about the bond council? It would be next, I think. Am I right about that, Mr. Mendoza?
Yes.
Any questions about straddling Yoka? It's interesting that straddling, I know their expertise, and they seem to do almost all of our deals in Orange County, but it's interesting that they always come in lower than everybody else. And it's part of their part of their strategy.
And they're certainly competent.
Yeah, they are. I don't have any particular issue with straddling Yoka in this one, particularly since their fee. Does anybody else have any comments about straddling?
No.
Okay. Then what about the underwriter, Piper Jaffray? Do you have any comments about that? Any more comments?
No.
Are they here today?
Yes, we have Katie, Ms. Katie Koster, and we have Russ that's also available from
Would you step
Piper
up,
Jaffray.
Please?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi. You introduce yourself, please?
Yes, Katie Koster with Piper Jaffray.
Good.
Are you a partner in the firm?
I am a managing director. We are a publicly traded firm and don't have partners.
Great. Are you an attorney?
No, I'm not.
Thank you.
It looks to me like you've done several of these things, these CFD things.
Yes, we have a particular expertise. We've been ranked second in the state of California for the past probably 5-10 years. Previously, before joining Piper Jaffray, I was also at UBS Securities, and we did a number of your initial CFDs from UBS.
How have you? We haven't talked about how the pricing mechanism works here. Are you going to do this by auction, or are you going to just, are you underwriting it for fixed price, or how's that going to work?
Sure. Just in concept, and again, we have not arrived at a specific structure yet. We want to, again, remain as flexible as possible so that we can get you the best deal possible. But the presentation that we made in our proposal was a unique hybrid structure, whereby we would take the two underlying CFDs, pool them up under the Mark's Roost pool, and then do a senior and subordinate structure at the authority level. The senior bonds would then get a higher rating because of the natural coverage from the special taxes that were provided from the CFDs, and that would get us a higher rating and better interest rates. The subordinate series of bonds, rather than selling that in a public sale non-rated, what we've proposed is doing that as a private placement. We've worked with a specific bank on a previous transaction we just closed in July on a very similar credit with a large, uh, a, over $30 million in bonds and a longer average life, which is rather unique. And we found that they could do it for about 100 basis points lower than in the doing a public offering. And so that's why we created that structure.
So we're inventing a junk bond.
Well, I would say, I would venture to say it's actually a fairly strong credit.
No, it is. Yeah. I'm being facetious. But you're tranching it, and you think overall that'll turn out better.
That's correct.
I see. Okay.
But we are leaving our options open, so we're going to look at every structure available as we're going through the process and recommend at the time that we come back to you with that, which we believe is going to offer the lowest cost of funds.
Just as a guess, what percentage would the subordinate piece be in a deal like that?
Well, we are capped at a par amount of $40 million under this existing structure. That's the maximum amount that the bank can actually do under this particular type of structure.
So it looks like you've got the subordinate piece circled.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
I just thought I have no questions on the selection and we appreciate the work you do for the county. I just wanted to sort of get your sense of the market and sure. And what's going on out there since you're here.
Yeah. Great question. The market has been extremely volatile. If you watch any of the news, the market news, either on TV or listen to it on the radio, you know that on a daily basis, treasuries are up, treasuries are down. We had a very historically low market for a very long period of time, in excess of 3 years, and we saw that in June, based primarily on Ben Bernanke coming out and indicating a little stronger than he had over the past 6 months that the Feds were going to back off and taper on their quantitative easing, we saw the markets really go into a flutter, and in particular the muni bond market. That has continued its trend. Interest rates, particularly for munis, have risen almost 150 basis points since June. That has tapered off a little bit. One of the primary drivers is just the everyday soundbite from the Feds. Combined with the fact that we're seeing a lot of the municipal bond funds be net sellers as opposed to buyers in our market. That also has tapered off a bit over the past couple weeks to a month. In our particular business, one of the main drivers of interest rates is also what's happening both domestically and in the foreign markets. Syria right now is a big what if, and we see on a daily basis things tick up or down based on what the news is on Syria. So I think long term, we're in an interest rate environment which is going up. It is definitely going up at a lower rate than it has the past 3 months, which were really unprecedented. And I think you could go back to the 1980s before you'll find another period of time where they went up so quickly. So we do expect them to continue to go up. And that's part of the reason why we wanted to get in front of you and get this project going as soon as possible, so that we can take advantage of the current refunding window and get it done before it ends up being out of the market.
From the time you get approval that the board says, yes, let's do this, how long is it before it goes to the market?
Well, we anticipate in this particular transaction that we could be in the market in November, possibly early December, if everything goes right. There are a lot of moving parts to these types of transactions. A lot of different players that have to put documentation together. So it is rather complex, and I think that is an aggressive but realistic schedule if there aren't any issues that pop up as we start to dig under the rocks.
Now, do you write the prospectus or does Stradling?
Stradling as Disclosure Counsel will write the prospectus, but we will all be contributing information and reviewing that. It's part of our obligation as the underwriter, and we're in a very highly regulatory environment right now that we have to do our own due diligence as well. So every party of the team will be deeply involved in reviewing that document.
Just as a guess, what would you guess the spread would be, the difference between the senior and the subordinate pieces in this deal? Is that 100 basis points or?
Well, if we were to do a public sale for both, yeah. It would probably be in the range of a 50 basis point differential. Mm-hmm. With the private placement, however, we're getting a big discount on that, so it's quite a bit more than that.
So it'd be a bigger spread.
Yes.
I see. Okay. Any other questions?
A narrower spread, I think. What you're suggesting.
Yes.
Narrower spread, not bigger spread.
Yeah, narrower spread, lower interest rate for the subordinate piece because of the fact that the private placement rates that they've provided to us are so much lower than what we could get if we were to go on a non-rated transaction in the public markets.
How does the senior tranche get a priority over the subordinate tranche?
Because of the way that the revenues flow up to the authority. So you have special taxes that are being levied on each parcel in each of the two CFDs on every parcel. That revenue flows up to the authority, and the authority then uses those revenues to pay the senior bonds first, and then whatever revenue is left over, that goes to the Series B bonds. So that creates a natural coverage level, in this case, of about 140-145% on the Series A. So by virtue of the fact that they have that much coverage from the revenues, the rating agencies will look at that more favorably, as will the investors.
Hmm. And both tranches have the same term?
Yes.
Hmm. I would think the spreads would be bigger than that, wouldn't you? You know more than I do. So, any other questions? Thank you. I appreciate your information. Okay, my suggestion is that we do this in the following order. Let's have a motion to approve, in concept, the refinancing of these CFD bonds. In concept is what we're doing, and the minutes will clearly show that. We would really appreciate more detail on the whole transaction, Sarah, which we anticipate will be with a prospectus, I assume, when you're ready to come to market. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, good. So, do we have a motion to approve this deal in concept?
I'll motion it.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The next motion we're going to talk to is the financial advisor. The finance department has recommended Feldman Rolapp. Do we have a motion for approval for these people?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Do we have a second?
I'll make a second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Aye.
Aye.
So we have 3-2. Am I right about that?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So Feldman Rolapp is approved. Okay. Secondly, straddling Yoko Carlson and Roth.
No, excuse me. Could we make sure we're clear on that vote? I voted no.
I voted no.
Maybe we can have a roll call.
We had three yeses.
Well, I thought we had.
No,
another.
I voted no.
He voted no.
Pardon me. I stand corrected. I'm sorry.
Alex, can we do a roll call on the vote?
Okay, Ms. Grimes?
Yes.
Yes. Tom Hammond votes no. Mr. Redeker?
Redeker votes no.
Yes.
Yes for Mr. Croner?
John Moore votes no.
Okay. So we do not. So how would you like to handle this? You want to bring it back, or you want to pick another winner? What would you like to do? Or negotiate the fees, that would be the best thing.
We will evaluate our alternatives and either bring it back either way, we'll have to bring it back.
Okay.
If there's a no vote.
All right.
Unless they can adjust the fees now.
That would be another alternative.
Mr. DeMars, you want to comment? Save us some time.
What does the committee suggest?
Your best possible offer.
We suggest that you make your fees competitive with public finance management fees. That's my suggestion. That's not the committee's suggestion.
Given your experience and your history with the city, I'd be comfortable if you came in between your original bid and the best bid that we have.
Which would be about
so
50, which would be 50,000 as opposed to 57,000.
Sharing my thoughts.
I would be willing to go to the 50.
Okay. All right. So we'll have a new vote. And we're voting for Feldman Rolapp and Associates, provided that the fee is $50,000. We'll give you your $500 in expenses.
Right.
Thank you for that.
Okay. All in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Only Congress works like that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. And let's see. We're down to Piper Jaffray. Do we have a motion to approve Piper Jaffray?
So moved.
Do we have a second, please?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous? Okay. Good. Does anybody in the public like to address this office group of...
May I interrupt for a moment, Mr. Chair? Did we have a vote on bond council?
Yes, didn't I? Didn't we do Stradling Yoker?
Stradling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we voted. Didn't we vote? Pardon
no,
me, not.
We didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. My fault. Do we have a motion for approving Stradling Yoker, Carlson, and Roth?
Aye.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Okay. Good. Okay. Do we have any comments from the audience or anybody like to make a comment from the public? If not, anything else you want to add?
Mr. Chair.
Good. Thank you, everybody, for coming. This meeting is adjourned. This is how omelets are made.